thing you're shooting for, and a goal is one of the many steps along the way you have to complete in order to get to the objective.
An objective, by the way, there you see now, that's the same problem as I have said always before. You don't, guys don't realize the difference between alternatives and options. You just made objectives the same as a goal. The objective is merely the focus of the actions. It is not the end result or goal that you, as you said, that you're going for. It's just the focus of your actions. So you can have actions relative to an objective, which is the focus of those actions, then which enables you to create meaning in the, or understand meaning in the actions. For instance, if I leave here to go to Kona, is Kona a goal or an objective? All my actions in driving and going from here to Kona are focused relative to Kona as an objective, which may or may not be a goal. A goal or a conclusion is an ending. So let's talk a little bit about last week. Everybody seemed to have gotten confused that we were saying that life should be a journey. It's been said that way for tens of years, decades after decades, have said life is a journey, not a goal. And I said last week, and I'll repeat again today, if you make your life a journey, not a goal, it will be meaningless. Your life only has meaning relative to a goal or a destination.
I heard that really the other way around.
I know, everybody did.
I heard that destination has no goal, has our alternative is a goal. Yes.
I'm just saying you don't know the goal of life. You don't know the destination of life. But because you don't know it doesn't mean that there isn't one.
Okay.
But also, I said that without a goal or a destination, life is meaningless. And I'll repeat it again.
Okay.
Therefore, when I was talking last week about processing, let's take the two-room school, for instance, when I then took the nature of the two-room school and then reprocessed the hospital or reprocessed the schools in Fairbanks or the school that I designed here, that reprocess is setting the objective or the goal for me in what I'm doing. I'm not just doing the goal that was set for me. I am setting the goal. In the same way as in Maryland in 1941, the school belonged to the state, but the room was mine. I cleaned the room, I started the fire, and I shoveled the snow so the school bus could get in there. That was my room. I owned the room. In the same sense, are you willing to own everything, every aspect of yourself and life?
And there was silence.
Well, the first thing you've got to do, though, is you've got to understand the difference between objectives and goals. Mm-hmm. Objectives are the focus of your actions. Goals come to a conclusion and an ending. Whereas what I was doing was not ending anything. That schoolroom was mine, and I let the teacher teach in it, and I let the kids learn in it. That was my room. And ever since that, I created everything that I was involved in was mine. Not, like I said before, never give a client what he wanted in a design. Reprocess whatever is asked for so it's yours, and then live accordingly. That's an objective, not an ending. So the objective of that was my room, and so I reprocessed everything I was doing. The 44-acre site at Fairbanks, Alaska land, which was like Disneyland, was mine. I let the tourists and the local people use it and enjoy it. But I built it for them to use it and enjoy it. We made Time Magazine. Okay. The same thing is important about alternatives and options. Alternatives only apply to a goal. Options have no goal. But options can have an objective, a focus.
So, is a goal then completed?
A goal, the assumption of a goal is it is a completion.
When the school is finished, the goal is completed.
Yes.
And then you look for a new goal.
That's right.
Well, you set a new goal. You don't look for it.
You set a new goal, yes.
Most people
yes.
look for a new goal.
And look, and look, and look, and look.
Okay, well, I got some other things to discuss. Today I finally got a dream that was... we're going to change everything, damn it, or I'm going to quit. That's not an idle threat. I spent this whole week considering that very seriously. So here's a way, and up to now I haven't really said any, this is the way it's going to be. Because I really didn't, you don't understand forever living, that's fine. But if we're going to do dreams, this is the way we're going to do dreams. And if you don't do them this way, we're not going to do dreams. And that is finally. Everybody has to have a dream that we're discussing to be able to read in your hand. So, Miss M is going to create a drop box, a forever living drop box. And if you have a dream, you put it in that drop box, and everybody else go to that drop box each week and get the dreams out of it. And then don't complain because you don't have a copy of the dreams. That's because you didn't make the effort to get the... Now, Miss M's got a big performance on Friday, so we're busy as hell this week.
It won't happen until the weekend.
So it won't happen until after.
But I'll send out invites to those of you that don't have Dropbox, and it'll explain how to use it and what to do. But
and
it basically just downloads it to a file on your computer where it's already there when you need it.
And you must present the dreams as I tell you to do it. Any dream that's not presented this way will not be reviewed. You've been using the email, which merely uses a whole 8.5 by 11 page of paper. What I said to you weeks ago was to write the dream on the left half of the paper, the left 4 inches, and leave the right half of the paper, the right 4 inches, blank.
Let me speak here.
Huh?
That means that you guys can't write it in an email. You have to write it in a Word document and send me or drop the file into the Dropbox.
Okay.
And if you don't understand, Ms. M, we'll set it up and give you instructions.
I'll walk you through it.
And if you don't do that, if you don't put your dream in there and it isn't that form, it will not be discussed. I will not continue discussing dreams that are written in email form.
And also in a large font of at least 14.
Yeah. There's somebody whose name will be anonymous, which is synonymous with Andrew, keeps using a tiny font.
He did better this time.
Huh?
He did better this time.
Yeah, well, better is not good enough. And so we keep trying to get it. Use a big enough font. I don't care how it appears on your screen. Print it out and look at it yourself. I don't want these tiny little fonts that I'm supposed to.
He can't see them, guys. You got to do 14 or 16.
No, so there. If it's not in the Dropbox, it will not be discussed. If it's not half a page, it will not be discussed. Discussing in the full email format is not good. It's not a good way for you to understand dreams. You can't understand it a line at a time. And when you write it all the way across there, nobody has any room for putting or writing the interpretation or the understanding on the right-hand side and making the association. Believe me, I've done this for 50 years, and the way of email and writing a full page doesn't work. So that's a given. I've even thought about if you don't put some dreams into there, I'll cut you off the black box. The world of black box is not like Alaska Natives sitting. Alaska Natives have a weird process of called sitting. They'll come in and sit in our groups up in Fairbanks, not say a word, not participate, not do anything. But then they get up, thank you for the wonderful conversation, and they leave. That's all right. Natives do that with themselves and with others.
Then you hear about how they visited
and
with
they,
you.
And they hear about how the conversation was. You hear all about it. I worked for the Native Corporation up there, so I know how they can do that. Well, that's what we got on our black box. Everybody comes and sits and listens and then says, thank you very much, good night for now, and goes away. Comes back the next weekend, sits and listens, and doesn't participate. So, you gotta have your dream. And then what I want you to do is, the dreamer that we're doing will read his own dream. But everybody can follow along because everybody will have a copy. You okay with that, Andrew?
Yes, I am.
I got Andrew's dream. I'm a little behind in doing Andrew's dreams. He overruns me with dreams here. But
that's only recently.
But I got his dream, and it was written on the left side of the page. Now, is everybody very clear about life is probably correct in saying life is a journey, not a destination. But you have to make your life a destination or it is meaningless. A destination or an objective.
All right, that's a good clarification.
An objective at least gives you some focus for your actions and awareness of that focus. Without any of that, your life is meaningless. You just wander and keep doing, hoping for the best. Well, the purpose of the dreams is to get you out of that. Or maybe I should say the purpose of the dream is to get you to understand that regardless of what you're doing. So here's a dream from Andrew. 4 a.m. October the 29th.
Okay.
You want to read it, Andrew?
I will, yeah. I know no one else has a copy, but this will be practice. October the 29th. Well, I sent you two. Which time?
4:30 a.m.
Okay. Okay, so I was up on a hill or a mound that it has a volleyball court on the top of it.
Okay.
Okay.
Have you heard the expression... The ball is in your court now?
I have heard that expression, yeah.
All right. In
your life,
what things could we say? The ball is in your court now. Can we talk about that?
Yeah, you know, I'm sorry. It sounds like I'm getting two of you.
What?
Okay, there you go. I was getting two of you from there.
Yeah,
well,
you sounded very far away.
Okay. Sorry, so the ball was in my court.
Yeah.
Begun to feel lately that, you know, I can't... Well, I've begun to feel lately that I cannot really rely on... you for information and things in my life. It's really up to me to start doing instead of, you know, just as you said earlier, you know, sitting and listening and taking information in. I got to start applying things. I've been thinking about
okay.
that for a while.
Read the second line.
Okay. It looks like a big yard or park area. So this is a really big, just, you know, it's big. There's no, I don't see a border. It's not like there's a fence or anything. It just goes on and trees and everything. And my family and I are playing volleyball.
Okay, then relative to your family.
Yeah, just want to back up, Roger. Hang on. Wanted to back up. So, you know that, I just want to interject something here, by the way. This is the experience, a realization I've had recently, this is for everybody. So there's a dream Roger and I did 2 weeks ago that nobody knows about, and that's not really important right now. What was absolutely important was there was this first line of the dream I sent him was just this innocuous little, silly little thing that had nothing to do with the rest of the dream. That it just completely switched scenes and it didn't even seem like it was related.
You mean there was something before this that you wrote down?
No, there's not. I'm talking about a dream that we haven't discussed tonight, but I was just sharing with everybody. You were very laser point clear about that innocuous little line which cracker would I choose? Which flavor cracker would I choose? And that choice ended up defining the entire rest of
you want to read that dream? Don't talk about
again,
it. Read the dream or we'll forget it.
All right. Sorry. Let's see here. I'm sorry, it's a ways back. It's still a ways back. Boy, when was this thing? I think I missed it. Hang on. I think it was...
So this is another dream?
Yeah, we're switching because I was just trying to make a little summary, but this is bigger than that. Oh, come on. Don't tell me I lost it. Hang on.
Well, don't count on me. I may or may not have it.
This is it.
I just have it. I may not have it with me.
Okay, got it. And I guess, you know, the reason I brought this up, the reason I interjected and interrupted what Roger was doing, this dream, I don't know what difference it's made in my eternal life. I couldn't tell you that right now. But in my personal life, this has been massive in the last week. And it starts off with this little silly line. I'm picking out a bag of chips. I can choose the plain, the cheese flavor, or the berry flavor. Okay?
Okay.
Are you going to consider that the insipid, or should I get to the action part?
No, that's good enough.
Okay. So... to me, I don't know if you want me to try and think what I think this is, but I'm looking at making a choice in life, and this is what the dream is. This is the insipid. I'm looking at making a choice in life between something plain, I don't know what cheese is, and berry flavor.
So I asked Andrew, what is a berry? And Andrew said it's a fruit.
I said a berry is a fruit.
And I said, what is a fruit?
And I don't remember what I said. I mean, you could say a lot of things about it.
He said, well, my father used to call gay people fruits.
Wait a minute. Right. And this is important. This is what I wanted to say. The first thing that went through my head was... and this is almost in the back of my mind. I remember my dad sitting at the dining room table laughing about these guys wearing their fruit bags. A fruit bag like in the 80s with these fanny packs.
Yeah.
Right? You just wrap around your waist. It's a big pocket. But he called it a fruit bag. Why? Because the gay people wear them. Ha ha. It was really funny. First thing that went through my head. But not the first thing I said because Roger said, what's a fruit? Well, fruit's a lot of things. But when we come back around to it, I think this was the week you had said, Roger, that we know what our dreams mean, but we don't have a language to speak them.
Or even a language we want to speak them.
Yeah. So it wouldn't have occurred to me to think that this berry thing was fruit was gay.
Well, that's where my mind went.
Right. That's
because I'm as old as your father.
At least.
So I can use that term.
Right.
This is why I usually ask people how old they are, so I know a little bit about what experiences they've had and whether they use certain terms. Most people don't use that term, but if you've had that reference with your father, then that term is valid for you.
Right, and it is. Now, my only problem in really, if I'm looking at this line, is... I'm making a choice between plain cheese flavor or berry flavor. So I'm personally sitting here. Okay, I get the action is making a choice.
Now here's a point that you have to make for everybody listening. That does not mean that he is homosexual or that there are tendencies there. You've got to remember that the dream is presenting something that's slightly different. So,
right.
We could take...
So,
a previous dream to this was talking about the monsters in his life.
No, Roger, this is it. Don't go anywhere.
Is this the monster dream?
This is it. I'm saying this was what was important, because the first line or two seemed to have nothing to do with the rest of the dream. I didn't make any sense to me. I practically ignored it. And it was a huge mistake.
Okay. Well, then go ahead and deal with it your way.
Okay. I mean, I'll get you that. I know you don't have it in front of you, but I'm just saying, Roger, in looking at this dream myself, even if I have that association with buried fruit bag in the back of my head, I'm still struggling as a thinker to say, what is the plain and cheese flavor and what is a cracker? What does that mean? How do I distill out the insipid? You just go right to it laser quick, and I'm sitting here struggling with crackers and cheese and flavors. I know it's a choice, but what is the choice of?
Well, I don't know. I guess it's 50 or 60 years of habit.
Okay.
All right, go on with the dream.
Okay, second line. I choose the berry flavor, and Yuko, this is my girlfriend, Yuko tells me that the old man we're with is getting nervous about that. He wanted to eat the cheese-flavored ones, and I'm thinking we should just get both flavors.
I'd take the cheese-flavored any day.
You must be the old man.
Right. Okay, keep going.
So, do you not want to talk about how the dream is breaking down here at all? The insipid is about making a choice. This says, relative to that choice, I chose the berry flavor, and there's some nervousness in that. Maybe we should pick both. Do you want to do anything with that, Roger, or just move on?
What?
I don't know, because I don't know entirely what I would do with that.
Well, in a dream, you cannot deal with every damn detail in a dream, I'm trying to tell you. We could never get to the bottom of it. So, you got to move on, then.
Okay.
We've got an insipid to deal with, then let's move on to the dream.
I'm not entirely clear about the insipid, though, that he's just making a choice.
Well, it'll come clear as the dream goes on.
Yeah, I'm making a choice, Jennifer, but bear in mind that I have an association that berry flavor and fruit is fruity as fruit bag is gay. And I did choose the berry flavor, and there was some nervousness around that. But anyway. Okay, next line. So we turn to leave the Jurassic Park. And suddenly, a huge dinosaur rises up out of the water a few yards from us.
That's from watching the TV ad on the dinosaurs that rose up out of the golf course.
Kind of is, yeah.
I'm tired of seeing that ad. Progressive.
No. Okay. I don't watch enough TV to know.
Okay, so what? Now we've got this big.
So what? What are we? And then they talk about it.
Water.
So okay, and then when we got into this discussion of dinosaurs and monsters, I asked him then, what is fruit a monster or homosexuality a monster in his life? Or in what way might it be? Didn't mean that he was, but how does it, maintaining the insipid, then how might homosexuality be a monster in his life?
Right.
And
so,
Roger
asked me what the monsters in my life were. I said everything, I probably said everything except that. And so when you finally nailed me with going back to the berry thing, in what way is the homosexuality a monster in my life? Well, hadn't thought about it in a long time, but it sure came up in my past life reading years ago. And yeah, I've been asked that question so much in my life by people, it's just ridiculous. Ridiculous because if I say if I was, if I even spent any time, you know, curious about what that might be like and say, like, well, that's a valid question. But I don't. But people have always asked me about it, and after a certain point, it gets very frustrating.
So, do I have to keep asking you questions, or are you going to go on with this dream?
I'll go on with the dream. Anyway, so I'll just read a couple lines so we get ahead here. But anyway, it looks like this monster has two nose tentacles, two tentacles, like octopus tentacles coming out of its nose. And it's wrapped around its mouth, presumably cleaning off its last meal. And he says in a loud voice, "You said I wasn't as big as the Monstrosaurus. That's not fair. I always look small when I'm eating." And he intends to prove that.
We could go into all those details.
Oh, okay. But, well, anyway, basically the huge Monstrosaurus does eventually pop up out of the water.
But the question we're trying to bring up is the fact that the dream may at first glance seem like or sound like he's struggling with homosexuality, but in fact it's not that. What is that monster relative to that in your life?
Well, so what we finally came down to after a lot of conversation was that it's an issue of a question of, like, so am I manly enough? You know, am I manly enough for everybody? Is it, you know, I'm not one of these rough and tumble kind of guys.
Is it manly enough for you?
Yeah, or manly enough for me, yeah. You know, my favorite color is pink, to be honest with you. That's a happy color. But I don't wear it because I'm not sure how other people would, you know, react to that. I like to cook. I like to, you know, do a lot of, you know, artistic things. I like to talk intellectually. The most boring relationships in the world to me are the guys who are tough. They have one emotion and they're tough all the time. You know, that's it. I just can't stand those relationships. So, yeah, the question is, like, then I get into a company of a bunch of guys, or, like, I'm thinking about writing a book right now for probationers, and the questions come up. Jeez, you know, how would they ever take me seriously? I'm not like an ex-Marine with tattoos all over. So maybe it's a bigger issue in my, as it's characterized, Roger kept pushing as a monster, the Monstrosaurus. I thought, well, shit, maybe it's a bigger issue in my life than I thought.
I had a friend who did a lot of work in prison and said the biggest, toughest guys, meaning nasty guys, were the biggest wusses, for sure.
Okay.
That was just a protection. That they were just protecting that tender part of themselves.
Oh, okay. That's interesting to know. Well, anyway, so, this was on Sunday. We talked about this last Monday. I was still feeling kind of like, you know, crap, man. I was trying to beat up by this dream. I didn't really like that too much. But Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, for whatever reason, it started sinking in. And then all of a sudden, my God, this made just, I just felt like, I call Roger saying overwhelmed him with all this stuff. But basically, it's like, I just felt completely unburdened, like, by something pretty big for the rest of my week. I start looking around, and everybody I see, it's like, I see a lot more people struggling with that issue than I even realized. And it just made sense of so many things. And I guess the thing that really amazed me the most was, if I had passed over that insipid, I never would have gotten it. I could have talked about monsters in my life of all kinds and never got to that one, because that one was buried deep under the water or wherever. But my point is, so I guess in doing dreams, I just think it's really, really important now to understand what the insipid is. And then I guess, like you just said, Roger, not to get caught up in the details, not get buried in all the details.
Or in the implications.
Okay.
Don't get caught up in the implications that are not there.
Right, exactly.
It didn't discuss homosexuality. You merely brought it up.
No, it didn't.
Secondarily. And this is a monster in your life. It's a problem. It's a constant thing in your life.
Yeah. Mm. But, you know, what was interesting, too, I guess I wanted to share is that after weeks of listening to dreams, the disparity I hear sometimes between what the dream seems to be talking about and maybe even a question that you or Misty answer, and then our own answers to these questions. Oh, you know, yes or no or whatever, off subject. But the point is, it seems like our own thoughts on these things are actually, I don't know what, they're a distraction or something from understanding like what the dreams are in our life.
Because the dreams are telling you what's going on.
Yeah, but see, I have an answer for just about everything, including what berries are and stuff like that. I don't think that the dream is about that, but that apparently wasn't true at all.
Okay, let's say it's not about that, then what is it about?
I wouldn't know. That seemed to be a pretty fruitful one.
Unless you can give a reasonable presentation of...
Oh, I know what I said. I was thinking it was the fruit of my labor. The benefits, the consequences, the outcomes I've been looking for. That's what I thought.
So are the fruits of your labor...
Yeah, that could be a monster.
Are the fruits of your labor a monster?
I think they could be, yeah. I've been pretty burned out in the last year or so on some things I was working really hard on. So, yeah.
Well... Let's not go into any more details with that.
A question, Roger.
What?
That, given that dream ended up being so important to Andrew that he broke the pattern of dealing with the dream that you started and wanted to go talk about that one, could it be that particular insipid would be true for dreams he's having today? It's part of his saga.
This was pretty nearly.
Part of his saga?
Yeah, it is. It's only a week ago.
And so that even a dream that you started with, while it would have its own insipid, that would perhaps be a sub-insipid to the bigger insipid.
Well, I don't think you could move an insipid over, but it could be implied.
Yeah.
No, the insipid is as it is stated in the dream.
But we've talked before about the dream existence is ongoing. It's not an iteration here and an iteration there. It's an ongoing saga.
Yes. But the insipid is only about
remember
what that portion
that
is
are
talking
going
about.
On every day. They are going on. Is that not correct?
That's correct. But the insipid is only about what that portion of the saga is about.
And so that one that we remember is something that's important to us and we want to talk about.
Apparently so.
Okay.
But you can also, just because I started there doesn't mean necessarily, like I said before, you may not get the full answer to the dream, but at least it leads to an interesting discussion, a focused discussion.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, I've got another dream from Andrew in which he's a marksman.
Roger?
What?
Yeah, just I'm curious. So in how we're going to do the dreams now, everybody will have the paper with the printed out dream. So we'll still read every line, but we, okay, but the trick is not to get caught up in the details, to pick out the major theme and follow it through or something.
Well, no, the thing is to follow through with the incipit.
Okay.
I'm just saying that there's a lot of little details. How you deal with these things. For instance, I can give you a lot of details about when I was in high school, whenever I was in a public place, I drew every gay person in the neighborhood. Whenever I sat down in a bus station or a train terminal, I attracted them.
Roger?
Yes.
Are you turned away from the table?
No.
But it sounds like it.
I can come closer.
It's hard hearing you.
I can come closer.
There you go. That would be nice. Thank you.
I just said when I was in high school, I was supposedly cute, and therefore I had...
Huh? He still is.
And therefore, every time I was in public, I had attracted gay people to me all the time. And I didn't do anything. If I just sat down in a bus station, if there was a seat next to me, I was propositioned. I had to always sit in the crowd. But here is a later dream, 2 days later. Maybe we got that wrong. Here's a dream that Andrew's talking about. I am a pretty good marksman and am approached by this guy and a few others who are with him. He challenges me to a competition to see who the better marksman is. So the question in that incipit is, what's the idea of marksman? Marksman to me is twofold. One is, in religion, sin is defined as missing the mark. And another one is, I asked Andrew how in high school, or that time, there's a reason for high school, how in that time did he want to make his mark in life? So maybe the fruits of his endeavors, as he said the other dream, was important as they determined his mark in life.
That's interesting.
So
yeah,
this marksman dream may have, which was 2 days later, may have changed or altered the what we talked about. I took the one position, and Andrew confirmed that the problem. But maybe that's not the real problem. Maybe the marksman dream is pointing out that the fruits of his labor is his monster in his life. Because he wants to make his mark in life. Everything that I said I wanted to do in high school, I set a goal, a whole bunch of goals. And I met every one of those goals before I was 25. Now what? I had to go out and set some new goals, which I did. And they didn't include having 3 kids and being left with them. I can tell you that much. But that is a problem that, so, making your mark in life might be a monster for you, Andrew. Maybe you had it correct.
Perhaps. I have a pretty personal association with marksman, though.
You what?
He has a personal association with marksmen.
Okay.
So ever since the gathering, I can't remember which it was, a couple of years ago, where it came out as the you were questioning us, or me in particular, about, here, go make it up. What's your mission in life? Your Mission Impossible, secret agent, what's your mission in life? And after some amount of hemming and hawing, I just blurted out, you know, to assassinate God. And ever since that time, that was a pretty powerful moment for me. And ever since that time, I'd gotten actually very interested in marksmen and their ability to just very precisely hit their target. That's just been a fascination with me since then.
Well, let's assume that that's the case. If I suggested, as I said in another one of your dreams prior before, I said I was going to be the chief justice of a new religion called Promise.
Mm-hmm.
How and in what way would you be willing to participate in creating a new religion called Promise?
How and in what ways?
Yeah.
Well, I would be willing to participate in the how and what ways. I feel like I'd be a promoter.
What?
A spreader of the word, a messenger, a communicator of this thing. Get the word out there. Talk to everybody about it. Put on demonstrations, sales, marketing, all that stuff.
It's a promise of abiding beings. It's a religion of abiding beings in living as you, by your own authority. Would you be willing to create a religion of living by your own authority rather than by the authority of God?
Yeah, I would. I'll tell you, up to now, I sure haven't felt up to the challenge, but I think I could do it.
I didn't ask you whether you could do it, or I didn't ask you particulars. I just asked you if you'd be interested.
Yep, definitely.
Well, maybe that's your mark, and that's part of your mark in life. Mm-hmm. Creating a new religion of the authority of self.
Mm-hmm.
Who was it, Krishna, that said he didn't want to create a new religion, he just wanted to take all the stupid foolishness out of the existing religions. Of course, that leaves the basic structure of religion intact. I want to create a whole new religion, which takes the whole basic structure of religion out of it, out of life. It's not, to me, good enough just to change the foolishness of religion.
A new format.
An entirely new format. Who said that?
Me.
That
Ted.
You?
Ted said that. So how would the format differ?
It's the authority of self, not the authority of God.
But you still have an authority figure, a central authority figure. It's just not God.
No, you don't.
Okay.
Everybody has their own authority. So there is no...
You don't hand yourself over to something else.
So you set your destinations and objectives. It's not God's objective.
But then there's this other you?
What?
There's another you?
What do you think? Have you been around here for the last 10 years or
Absolutely.
So?
Absolutely.
Where you been?
I'm just saying, if you have to create this authority figure yourself, you have to make yourself the authority figure.
Yes.
So in essence, right now, you're not the authority figure.
No, right now, people are not the authority figure in their own life.
Right. So now there's a person who's not the authority figure in their life, and then there's this goal to create, or this goal to create themselves as the authority figure in their life.
To live by their own authority.
Yes.
Okay, but isn't that what religion does? You have this person here, and then you have this authority figure, whether it's you or somebody else. I'm I'm talking about format change.
No, the format is it's always somebody or something else. It's never you.
You can never totally claim it.
Even if you have free will. Catholic Church says you have free will to know good from evil and choose good. And that's good as defined by God.
In the way church is set up, the religions are set up right now, you can never be the authority figure. In forever living, you can be. And that's the biggest difference.
You is and you are.
Correct. I understand all that.
Okay. What don't you understand?
That given that...
Why would we want to change anything?
Given that... I'm talking about a format change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
So to me, a format change would be that there is no transition from who you making yourself the authority in your life. You already are.
No, you're not.
No, body and everything that you walk through. Because your of religion,
everybody is denied it from the
get go.
So then there's still these two entities, this authority figure and you.
Yes, but you
and that's not different than religion. There's you and God who's the authority figure. So I'm saying how is that different? How is that a fundamental format change is my question.
Because you are the authority figure.
The conclusion is different, or the goal is
there is no difference between me and the authority figure.
No.
So, if you're beginning a religion to get people to understand that, then the premise is that there is a difference between them and what this authority figure is.
That's what it is now.
Right. So, how is that different than how is that this religion different than the way it is now if there's still you and an authority figure? There's you and an authority figure. And in this instance, there's you and the authority figure is yourself. And currently, there's you and the authority figure is God.
Not
so
you
still have...
If you keep tapping on that table, all I'm going to have on the recording is thump, thump, thump,
thump,
thump, thump.
Okay. Okay. That's all I'm saying.
I understand where you're going, but you're missing the
result is
the interjection.
Okay.
That the authority figure is you. There's not you and some other authority figure. The authority figure is you.
Okay.
You walk in the room and there you are.
Okay. Let's move on.
Well, I think that's kind of important simply because it's likely to come up in discussions of promised self. Promised self and religion is one of those things I really wanted to get more onto. I'm trying to say I can't devote every damn week to talking to the black box or preparing to talk for the black box for 2 hours. I needed time to do some writing of things that I wanted to write.
Well, let's go there now with everybody.
Okay. With what?
Let's explore that then now.
We just explore which do you want to. Well, what I want to write.
You got Andrew Bitt. Does everybody else? Does everybody else even understand? Or would it?
No.
Is there interest of any other people in the black box?
This is why I switched to dreams, because everybody expected me to give a 2-hour monologue every Monday, and they wouldn't participate. They would just listen and then get up and. Like an Alaska native and say, wonderful conversation, thank you very much.
So I'm proposing now that you asked Andrew a few minutes ago if he had an interest. I'm proposing that we ask everybody on the black box right now if they have a similar interest.
Well, ask.
Okay. Everybody else on the black... You do?
I do.
Does everybody else on the black box have a similar interest to the one that Roger just proposed to Andrew?
I proposed this some time ago and everybody poo-hooed it all.
Right.
Well, I can answer that. I think absolutely the very core of everything we've been talking about leads to and involves the authority of self.
The question is, doesn't the authority of self and the religion that that goes with that, then isn't that then going to affect our dreams? And I think our answer is yes.
Oh yeah.
Is it going to affect?
And I think that the more we bring a focus there, the dreams are going to reflect how we're actually thinking and feeling and acting about that.
I think so.
Yeah.
So we have Patrick and Andrew and Jennifer and myself, and Misty, I believe.
Yeah.
And me.
And Roger.
Possibly.
We need 12 apostles. We only have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Any more?
Well, I don't want to hang around over the weekend.
Yeah. Well, who else is on this box? Simone?
Karen?
I'm here.
And
so,
how many are afraid to even say this? Because
Angela,
religion in itself is, seems like so sacred that you don't, nobody wants to even touch it.
Yeah. What? For me, it's just, how about just asking for, like you asked Andrew, do you have an interest or a willingness to even have a discussion?
Most people are not willing to have an honest discussion about it.
Well, I'm asking them if they do.
I know. I'm
answering.
You
keep telling me they don't, and I don't believe you, so I want to hear it from the people in the black box.
He doesn't believe
me. I've asked the question many times before.
Well, I'm asking them.
Okay.
Hey, I have an interest.
Okay. That's Karen.
That's seven.
Well, okay, but what constitutes interest? And I'm asking because is it folks are just, going to, listen for a while, or are they going to show up for a couple weeks and then stop coming back, or are they going to, participate regularly in some
I don't
that?
Know.
Well, I think first things first. I think if you get enough people with an interest, then you begin to define what that looks like.
That then is part of our discussions.
Yes. It means that the discussions then would have that as a
sort of an insipid.
Insipid,
or at least it would be part of every word we say.
Right. So everything would be in that container, so to speak.
So, Ken?
Yes.
Can you please repeat the interest about what? I was falling out of the line before.
Yeah.
Ah.
I heard her fall off.
Okay. Roger spoke about
the religion of promise.
Religion of promise. And he asked Andrew,
yes,
if he had any interest in creating that. Or
because Andrew brought up the time he said murdering God.
Correct. And so I said, is there anybody else? God, Roger, why don't you pose that same question to everybody on the black box and get a response from everybody. So we're now polling everybody on the box to see how they respond to that question. Are you interested in participating in...
The problem with, let's say, the counter is that atheism talks about it being against God or that God doesn't exist, but they don't offer an alternative. And so what I'm talking about in all of this is not being against what is, but offering an alternative and restructuring everything around that alternative. And doesn't that restructure all of life?
I'm in.
Fact is, the first seven articles that were written back in the 90s were about the Garden of Eden story. And everybody that was getting them at that time was unhappy because it was talking about religion. I was restructuring the Garden of Eden story, looking at it in detail and saying it means something entirely different or other. Okay, I'm looking at the same things now and saying maybe what we look at things and assume certain things are not necessarily true. Even what I assumed about the incipit may not be true. But at least it brings us to a discussion which can lead to what people might want to be true. Do people really want to live by their own authority? Ask the question and get a vote. See, they won't talk.
Okay, there it is. Does everybody on the black box really want to live by their own authority?
Yes.
Yes, yep. I will. Yes.
Yep.
You say that while at the same time you are safe not living by your own authority.
Correct.
Because everybody has the whole religious view hidden. And what we're saying in all of this is that maybe dreams point that out.
Yes, I agree. Yeah.
So maybe we could set it up so that the dreams would point the way to us living by our own authority.
Well, you could do
that.
The
focus would change.
In fact, Andrew wanted to do that in having a question. And what we're talking about then is a day analysis. And this happened years ago. I was pissed off with the dream group. We're talking about back in the 70s.
You get pissed off at groups?
Some things never change.
Huh?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Because they were not bringing... They got to one week that nobody brought a dream in for us to discuss. So one of the gals there, she said, well, why should we discuss dreams? Why don't we just discuss her life? It's the same thing. So instead of having a dream analysis, why don't we have a day analysis? And so we did. We started what we call a day analysis. And what we did is to say, okay, that was Monday night. So on Thursday, we asked a question, what is my purpose in life? And we said on Thursday between 4 and 5 o'clock, your daily life will portray what your purpose is, the same as like asking a dream, and then the dream tells you. Okay, so the day analysis was that between 4 or 5 o'clock, three of us met on the front steps of the post office, and it turned out that our purpose in life was about communication. And the funny, we've done this for almost every dream group. And Andrew wanted us to go there. And I said, until people understand dreams enough that they're interpreting it, I don't want them to tackle their life. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we can do that. There was a friend of mine when we had a dream group across the island in Alua-Loa. He said, every time we have a day analysis, I'm always cleaning my house. Well, goddammit, I'm not going to clean my house. I'm tired of the dreams day analysis telling me my purpose is to clean my act up, clean my life up. So we had we set up a time and a question. And he ran a flower business underneath his house. His house was up on poles over in Pune. And just before 4 o'clock, the telephone rang, and he ran upstairs to answer the phone. And yeah, he talked on the phone. It was about an order of flowers. And when he got off the phone, he looked around and he says, damn, I left all the dirty dishes in the sink. I need to clean up my sink. So at some quarter after four, he found himself sitting there washing his dishes. And he said, damn, here I am again, cleaning up myself and my life. And you can't manipulate it. You think, okay, I can manipulate it, but it seems like you can't. But we could ask the question if you wanted to do that. You want to do a day analysis,
sure.
Andrew? You interpret the day just like you interpret a dream. I was waiting till we got more proficient in dealing with dreams before we did days.
Roger, you said before, life is 24/7, dreams and events. I mean, why don't we just practice it that way? Why don't we live it that way? Yeah, I'm into day analysis.
Okay, we'll follow Ken's question here. The question is, how would you participate in creating a new religion of promise? Or how do you want to, is that, or do you really want to live by your own authority? Which question?
Well, either one, but we should write it down, whichever one it is.
Whichever one it is, which one is it? How would you like to participate in creating a religion of promise?
Okay.
All right. Between 4 and 5 o'clock on Thursday.
Wait a minute. I got to write that down. Hang on. I don't even have a paper going. Hang on.
You write down what is occurring in your life just the same way as you'd write down a dream. Only now we know what it's answering that question. So we know what the incipit is. The incipit is discussing that question. How you would participate in creating a new religion of promise. And subset
now,
of that...
How would I?
Yes.
Does that mean how I would like to? Or
yeah,
how I would
like
based
to.
On how I'm living my life?
Like to.
Okay.
That's all I ever asked. I didn't ask what you would do. How would you like to create
so
or participate
in creating...
in creating
a religion of promise.
And that will tell us a great deal about living by your own authority. It'll tell us a whole lot of stuff about stuff.
Okay. And this is between 4 and 5 p.m. on Thursday.
Yes.
This Thursday. Okay.
Today is Monday.
Same for you, between 4 and 5 on Thursday.
Okay.
Now, my question, Roger, is, do we send this in on Dropbox
Everybody keep your own. When we talk about it, you just read your own what you were doing.
Okay.
Don't assume that you'll have the Dropbox done and ready by then.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be just crazy.
So you just write it any dang way you want to. You're going to read it. Tell us what you were doing.
Okay.
And then we interpret the day analysis the same way as we interpret dreams.
Okay. We can send it in a Word format with two...
The idea of all of this is that you, from the dream analysis and from this day analysis, you soon begin to understand what you're doing in life is all about. It's just always that awareness is always with you.
As far as the Dropbox goes, when I set it up, I will set up one that I'll put up there as a template that you can easily just type into and be done with it. It'll be all set up.
Yeah, we're document and column.
Okay.
Thank you, Missy.
Well, I don't know how it works. Misty will tell you when she gets it set up and tell me. Okay?
Works for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, here's what you should do.
Yeah.
You should prepare before. Don't wait until Thursday and then hope and guess for the best. That's what you do with your dreams. You should at least take some time before and reassure yourself that between 4 and 5 o'clock on Thursday, it's going to give you an answer to what it is you are willing to do to create, to be a part of a creating a new religion of promise. How would you like to go about doing that? We had a gal who was one of our groups up in Alualoa who was going to write her psychology thesis, PhD thesis on it. A lot of things happened. She left the island and then came back to Honolulu, but I haven't seen her since. She has a business in Honolulu with her ex-husband, last I heard. But it's the kind of thing you could really do a whole thesis on if you really get some examples. And
what, it being the day analysis?
Yeah.
The day analysis, yeah.
Okay.
Pretty soon you find
so
you can ask...
So Connie did that for a while.
You can ask questions all the time and get and receive answers. Just by the nature of what you're doing, but you should set up a definite time the same way as you do it with dreams, whether you believe it or not. You isolate out dreams from not dreams. So we isolate out 4 and 5 o'clock on Thursday from the rest of your life and say, put the answer in all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we'll see what happened for the first go-round. And I know about what I'll be doing, but I don't know the particulars.
Right.
And we don't write all the details, do we?
Well, you can get too many details. That's TMI gets to be a problem. Too much information.
Mm-hmm.
It's all important, but we're not accustomed to dealing with that much information.
The basics.
No.
As we get better, we can get more into it.
Okay, there we are. Do a day analysis. And if it says clean up your own house first, that's what it means.
Then you can come clean mine.
Then you can come clean in my
house. Anybody that wants to come clean my house can come clean my house. Because that certainly doesn't happen to be me.
Okay, well, we...
You want to start getting into that?
So my question still is, how might it be that that making a mark in life might be a burden or a monster in your life, Andrew?
Well, you know, if I didn't make a mark, I'd be like a failure.
Now you're beginning to understand why a destination or a goal is what makes life meaningful?
Yeah. Yeah. And if I didn't have a mark to make in life, it'd be just pretty meaningless, just passing the time, waiting for something to happen.
Is there anybody in high school or thereabouts then that challenged you about or that you dealt with? Because in high school, when I was there, we had a fraternity. And we went through this with all the guys in the fraternity.
Mm.
One guy said he was going to marry Rich, and he did. So, almost everybody in my high school, in the fraternity anyway, that I knew that we talked about, met their goals that they had set very early on. Maybe you can get a better perspective of promise or changing your religion. It doesn't do much good to say you were a Catholic, but now you're not, unless you're willing to change your religion. It's like Dawkins and everything. They're always against God as atheists, but they don't really talk about what they're for. They'll say, I'm for science, but they won't take the issues of religion and change them. And that's what we're trying to do here. Anybody getting, is it raining?
Yeah.
Is that where all that noise is coming from?
Yeah, you're going to have to suck up to the phone.
I thought it
probably
was static on the radio.
No.
On the black box. Is that too much static for everybody?
Not yet. Can hear you.
It's raining. It's pouring. Let's hope it doesn't.
The old man is.
No, not yet.
Another hour or two.
We've got another half hour. Okay, then Marksman is probably about making your mark in life. What I said last night is, or last week, is that while, since dreams are talking about your eternal self and also about this personal self you're living, regardless of what you think you're living, there are kind of two ways to interpret dreams. That's slightly a misnomer. Way we've been doing this so far is talking more about your personal life, the personal life you're living, rather than what you think you're living. Since dreams are, here's something you can try, since dreams are picture languages, deal with pictures only, essentially, you can write down your dream, then cross off anything that you cannot see in the dream. Like I'm reading a dream from Patrick. I was standing with a small group of people on the side of a rather large river that was running at full flow. I didn't know the other people. You have to scratch off, I didn't know the other people, because that's not something you can see.
But what if somebody says something in a dream?
If somebody what?
Says something in a dream. I've had people speak to me in a dream before.
Yeah, so have I. Well, unless what they say is portrayed in the dream, it doesn't do any good. It's not, if it's a picture language, the language itself has to be portrayed. If you can't, so that if you can't see it, it doesn't count. In other words, scratch out anything you cannot see. And then reread the dream. Because we add a lot of stuff that we know after the fact, or stuff that we assume. Then he says, my side of the river was park-like with grass and masonry wall on the river's edge. You can see that. On the far side was a rock bluff at the water's edge, except for directly across from me where there was a flat area a couple hundred feet wide and about 100 feet deep. The river came from my right from about 45 degrees and made a right curve, right curve to the right in front of me as the river ran downstream. You can see all of that. You can leave that whole damn paragraph in there. several boats came speeding down the river from my right and included an SU vehicle that was somehow staying on the surface. They were going too fast to make the curve and had to turn hard right to avoid hitting the shore in front of me. Going too fast to make the curve is not something you can see. You'd think so, but that's not necessarily something you can truly see. So that scratches. They just had to turn right to avoid hitting the shore in front of me. The turn was so tight that it took them over to the far shore. You can see all of that. And they bounced around on the open land space and back out into the river. I don't really have a good picture of this, you and this river, Patrick.
They attempted, you don't have a witch?
I don't have a good picture of you and this river. Of this whole image.
There's no me in the river, but everything I see in the river.
It sounds to me from the description that several things are contradictory. Can anybody else out there in the black box, from what I read, can you describe to me in very correct detail, which Patrick will then affirm, the image you have of this dream?
I had an image of Patrick standing on the side of a river with a small group of people watching all these things occur on the river.
That's right, but you describe the river to me. Where is the river coming from? What's happening?
I don't know if my picture comes from his words or what I filled in. I couldn't. I mean, I have it flowing from the right, headed down to the left. I don't know if that's true.
That's true.
I have a curve in the river. It's not a straight river. And on the other side of the river, there's a rocky bluff. A bluff. A rock, is that right? Natural rock formation.
And an open space in front of the bluff.
Oh, yeah. So the river and then the grass and then it goes to the bluff. It's not just right on the shore.
That's right.
They had to turn hard right to avoid hitting the shore in front of me. Their turn was so tight that it took him over to the far shore. That part doesn't make sense.
And well,
they bounced.
Have you ever seen people on skates, five or six people get together holding hands and they go in a circle and the one on the outside goes faster and faster and faster? And can often then get projected out further. That was, they did the turn so tight that it threw their momentum threw them back across the river.
No, their momentum turning right would throw them over to your side of the river.
No, they're coming from my right and making a right-hand turn, which meant that they take them across the river.
That's right, and you're across the river, watching this.
No, I'm standing on the river watching this in front of me.
Which side of the river are you on?
I'm on the outside of the apex of the turn in the river.
You're on the cut side.
I'm on the side where there's masonry between the grass and the river.
That doesn't tell me anything. I said you're on the cut bank.
Oh,
I don't know
what a cut.
The outside of the curve is the cut bank, and the inside of the curve is the deposit.
Okay, that's correct.
You're on the outside of the curve. You're on the
that's
cut bank.
Correct.
I don't understand how they made a right turn and bounced off the deposit by the inside bank.
They were coming from his right. They're basically what? He's on the right. He's on the left side of the river.
He said it.
And they're coming down
angle.
The river, flowing from the right side. That doesn't make sense.
But even turning right, they would have to turn right so sharp that they turn back on themselves.
Yeah, he's on their left.
What?
As they're coming down the river, he's on their left.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
But how did they bounce off of this shore?
Right.
You almost can't do that because of centrifugal force.
Right, you're wanting to go toward him.
Huh?
Yeah. You're turning this way.
No matter how hard you turn, the centrifugal force is going to throw you over toward the other bank.
Right.
That's right.
And both the centrifugal force and the water itself. Like I say, you almost can't cut back on yourself that way. If the water was quiet, you might be able to do that, but it was supposedly moving. So that didn't make sense to me. But that's me.
Because Patrick's the dreamer and he's not an architect.
Well, I don't care. When you're talking about day analysis or dreams, you have to get this. The point of all of this is to get the language and the description so that you can describe things that other people can understand it. No matter what I say, Ken brings up a, yeah, but. Okay, I'm bringing up a similar yeah, but I don't see how anybody could end up on the cut bank. I mean, on the deposit bank.
I got this. Well, it was my dream, and that's what happened.
Well, dreams are allowed to happen that way, then.
Yeah.
So what
does that mean?
They ended up bouncing off the bank across the river from you.
That's right. And their wash from making that tight turn, their own wash bounced off the other side of the creek and upset them, or other side of the river, and overturned the boats.
Okay, so did everything on that paragraph that you can see stay?
Have a visual, and then what do you do with the visual?
All I'm just saying is that in most of our dreams, they are full of stuff that you can't really see. Which, if
okay.
In eternal language, dreams are talking about picture language, then only what you can see counts for the dream. The rest of it is stuff we've often added.
Okay.
And are not necessarily part of the dream. The last sentence is, the next thing the dream was standing in front of a number of people, and I was being thanked for acting quickly to save these folks. You can say I was being thanked, but that isn't pictured. I could see people talking to you, doing all sorts of things, but the assumption is I can't know what they're saying. And this was early in October. I just use this as an example because when you do Thursday's day analysis, don't add to the day analysis things that you think you know or feel or heard being said, because unless you can see it, it's of real no value. You have to understand that. What I said is we were trying to create a language between you and your dream. Then in the day analysis, you must use a similar language for your day analysis. And you're going to say in the day analysis, I knew this was happening. I knew she felt that way. I knew what her attitude was. That doesn't count. It cannot be portrayed. You cannot use one language for your dreams and use a different language for your days, which is why I didn't want to get into days yet. But okay, we're here. So I guess then next Monday that's what we'll discuss. Well, it's getting pretty noisy around here. In my ears.
Yeah, it comes and goes, but when it's strong, it's strong.
Well, as it does, it comes and goes. Except in my ear, it's just always, with my ear somewhere, always loud. Okay, don't forget, Thursday between 4 and 5 o'clock.
Between 4 and 5 on Thursday.
Yeah, and you should prepare yourself for that question. Everybody wrote down the question. What was the question?
How would you like to participate in creating a religion of promise?
Okay. Then you should repeat that before 4 o'clock. Give yourself and your dream self or your subconscious or whatever time to prepare its answer. And it will give you an answer. If you don't manipulate what goes on, you will have an answer. Or if you don't get an answer, you might in that end have an answer. You wouldn't be willing to participate.
If you don't get an answer.
If you don't get an answer?
That might be your answer.
Why wouldn't you get an answer?
Because you're not willing to participate.
But why wouldn't you? You'd be doing something. That would be the answer, right?
Yeah, but you'd be surprised how many people say I
forgot. I'm hearing much, guys.
Okay, well, then we'll hang up.
Alrighty.
Alright. Bye now.
Good night, all.
Good night.